This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Frida Liu.
Arvind Braj.
We're talking about gamification today, the application of games elements into non-game spaces, the permeation of ideas and values from the sphere of play and leisure to other social spaces premised on a seductive idea. If you layer elements of games like rules, feedback systems, rewards, and video games like user interfaces over reality, it will make any activity motivating, fair, and potentially fun. According to Jay McGonigal in Reality is Broken, what if we decided to use everything we know about game design to fix what's wrong with reality? Anyway, our poll is running on Twitter. We have 65% of you saying it helps a business. We have 35% of you who are saying it hurts a business. Over to WhatsApp, we have a listener number ending in 9165 saying gamification is becoming more relevant, especially in today's VUCA world, as in volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. It is essential in employee engagement and started to be widely adapted in learning and development. However, one must be very good in the design of gamification, be clear on the short-term, middle, or long-term objective so that it will be impactful and things do not go wrong. Disney didn't think it through, is essentially what she's saying.
Yep.
Any tweets over there?
No tweets yet.
No tweets yet. Mm-hmm. Keep the messages coming in, though, folks. Always interesting. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp, on Twitter, or Instagram, at BFM Radio. Now, meat. Lab-grown meat.
Yes.
Disgusting or not?
We'll find out. Okay, this article came out from Fast Company, and the person who wrote it is Brian Kateman, who's the co-founder and president of the Reducitarian Foundation, a non-profit organization dedicated to reducing consumption of meat, eggs, and dairy to create a healthy, sustainable, and compassionate world. So he's writing it from that perspective, right? And then I am reading this article as a Chinese who will eat anything with a back to the sun. So this article says research has shown that one study found that 39% of Americans were incorporating more plant-based foods into their diets in 2017. So there has been a huge growth in the number of plant-based alternatives to meat, which means that people don't have to drastically change, cut down, and compromise in their favorite foods. So bleeding in what air quotes, plant-based burgers that cook, look, smell, and taste like real thing, including Beyond Meat and Impossible Foods, are making it much easier for reducitarians, people trying to cut down their meat consumption without fully giving it up, to enjoy a burger without harming the environment, animals, or their health. So many people find it difficult to cut out meat entirely. Yes, I understand. And others simply don't want to. But the scientists looking for other sources of protein that are scalable, sustainable, nutrition, ethical are coming closer than ever before to solving this riddle. Meat grown in a lab.
Okay.
Yum. Yum again.
You don't sound convincing.
Are we salivating? Clean meat, as it's called, offers the exact same experience of eating meat just without harming animals and the environment. So scientists extract stem cells from a live animal without causing them any pain and feed the cells plant-based material so they grow muscle fibers like they would in the animal's body. So a number of companies are now working making clean meat, including burgers, sausages, and chicken nuggets, blah, blah, blah. What their predictions, cultured chicken will be popping up in Asia as soon as this year, and most estimates predict it'll be ready for market on a wide scale within the next 5 years. So at this moment, though, the sticking point is working hard to produce a sustainable cost, since the first ever clean hamburger made it in 2013 was roughly $325,000.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. That's going to be an expensive restaurant.
Yeah,
US dollars.
Yeah.
So by 2050, worldwide meat consumption is predicted to increase by 73%.
Whoa.
According to a 2011 United Nations report. So, you know, it's sort of contradicting, right? So the potential market for clean meat is huge, but there's a one question looming over the industry. Will we want to eat it? So one study found that 43% of people prefer to eat animal-based foods even when clean meat is the same price. One of the main reasons people are put off because they perceive clean meat as unnatural.
All right.
What do you guys think?
How is lab-grown meat less disgusting than actual meat? Because if actual meat wasn't disgusting, then everybody would be killing their own animals. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The reason we let someone else do it for us, like we go to
the
supermarket, we don't want to see it. We don't want to see what happens to the actual animal. So we want to believe that a patty is just a patty, you know, from birth. It just appears. Mm. So lab-grown meat sounds like a much better substitute. Like I would eat it.
Okay. I have to say I would too.
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Because it's an ethical question, right? Like I was saying, the ethics of it is if something, it's essentially cloned food, right? And what we are eating now, most of the food that we eat is already cloned, vegetables in particular, fruits in particular.
What's the word?
Yeah. Go on.
GMO.
GMO. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
People have this argument against GMO, and I hear it regularly. You know, most of the food you eat is GMO. You know, that's just something you need to accept.
Yeah,
you know?
These same people are the ones who will go buy like seedless grapes.
Correct.
Yeah, that's GMO.
It's GMO. Yeah. You know, and tofu GMO stems from, of course, soy.
Unless it specifies organic.
Unless even then, it's still GMO. Okay. Yeah. Now, the idea of having something grown in a lab where you know it's clean, where it hasn't suffered at all.
Yeah.
It's just literally appeared and been grown on a Petri dish. Mm-hmm. All of the ethics that I'm worried about, you know, it's a poor animal. I shouldn't be killing it. Yeah. You know, it's been raised by a mother. I don't want to kill it.
Yeah.
You know,
it has a face.
It has a face. Mm-hmm. It can make noise. It has feelings. None of that exists.
Yeah.
None of that exists. It becomes just a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's a thing that I can enjoy and I can eat without all of those other worries, why wouldn't I?
Where did they store the animal? How did they raise the animal? None of that is
there. Okay, so here's the thing with processed foods, right? So he says here, like if you think about it, bread, cheese, yogurt and wine, they are already derived from natural ingredients that are then processed. So it's a whole thing about processed foods. Okay, so I just want to go on again. One scientific paper argues that research suggests we're least likely to perceive something as natural when a gene from another species is added to it, which they say is cognitively similar, although in practice not all similar to the process of growing clean meat. Finding food unnatural is part of our disgust reaction, which is a universal human emotion that scientists say we develop as a defense mechanism to avoid infections and disease or ingesting anything poisonous. It's a complex reaction that hinges on both rational and irrational, learned and inbuilt impulses. So I'm going to give you this American example where, you know, in the US, for example, eating sushi, right? There was something that they weren't used to. It took a lot of time, money, marketing, but in recent decades, sushi has gone from an object of disgust in the West.
Yeah.
To one of their favorite cuisines. Japanese food was barely mentioned in the US media until the 70s. A New York Times article from 81 covering the opening of a sushi bar in New York's Harvard Club explains how Americans once were squeamish about eating raw fish, now observe how expertly they order their nigiri, hold the mustard on the kapamaki. So that's almost 40 years from the first day of sushi. Okay, here's my thought around it. As much as possible, I do try to avoid processed foods, and even breads. As much as possible. I'm not. You know, all out. It's very difficult to live that life. But if I would like to be able to recognize the food in its most original form, is my way to go. And if I can afford it, organic, and make sure that it's non-GMO. Mm-mm. So as much as possible, is it something I do all the time? No. Right, but I want to be able to recognize the meat where it's coming from.
Okay,
so I don't know if it's something.
What about if they grew it in a cow shaped Petri dish? You can recognize
I mean, you like a cow mannequin or something.
Yeah, I mean, come on, I mean.
I don't know, you know. So
I see where you're coming from, and I can understand that way of thinking, you know. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But the way in which we are consuming food now, you know, let's talk about how in the US there are 30,000 less cows now because and people are talking, oh, they're contributing to global warming, they're doing this, so they culled a whole bunch of cows. Yet the rate of global warming over in the US and the rate of CO2 over in the US is still rising. So technically, whilst reducing that amount of cows, they weren't as big as a contributing factor as people have argued.
By the way, someone sort of come up with a solution that reduces the emission from cows. Flatulence. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a possible solution.
It is. Yeah. But even stuff like the carrots that we consume, carrots naturally are not orange. You know, they are white. They were made orange over in Amsterdam because they wanted to make the king feel good because his favourite colour was orange.
Yeah. Even kiwi fruit.
Yeah, even kiwi fruit, you know. So many things that we could... But anyway, what about stuff like insects?
That's a topic that we'll be discussing next week. I know I was going to say that. Discussing next week. This is Kevin Wu. He's from Ant Something. That's Hava. Yep, so and he's coming on Tuesday at 10 a.m. and open for business. And they're going to have crickets. I've got to say I tried it.
Yeah, I've tried them once.
All right, so that's our discussion next week in the protein powder with crickets.
Are they crispy is what I want to know. Because then I can pretend like they're anchovies or something.
Depends how they are prepared. Anyway, we'll talk about more about that off air. Ladies and gents, do keep the messages coming
lunchtime.
In. Do keep the messages coming in. If we've said anything wrong, feel free to correct us. 018-789-8899 is the number on WhatsApp, on Twitter, on Instagram. We're at BFM Radio. Short break. When we come back, KL might be getting a helicopter hailing service soon. I'm not joking. Don't go anywhere. Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.